Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yes. It was a beautiful day. It's going to be a beautiful night. Break out the champagne. Everybody get a glass. Let's start it off sexy, what he said. And all the ladies say. And all the ladies say. I think I like that. And all the ladies say. Welcome to the champagne life. Where trouble is a bubble in the champagne glass. Dreams and reality are one and the same. And we gon' do it like this.
Got an addiction for life and it's living. Like every day's my birthday, no one I'm kidding. Can't reserve the time that that's for I'm fitting. Me and my friends in some sickness and dependence. And my attitude so chill and so breezy. And my designer suits I make just look
All right. Hey, welcome. Hey, I do apologize. You know, we live in a world of technology. So we had a little technical difficulties, but I think we're on board. You know, so, you know, once again, thank you for being patient and for tuning in from the basement to the boardroom tonight with your host, Mr. Brian Juven and Tony Fleming. Are you with me, Brother Tony?
I might need to get an extra key, man, so when you can't get in the house, I can go and get in and get it cranking.
Hey, man, yeah, we gotta show somebody else how to run the board, because like I said, yeah. Our engineer having some issues, we got to get in somehow, though, and so we worked it out, though, you know, like I say, and know what, man, but I can honestly say in this world of technology, and technology does kill us a lot, you know, but in my almost 2 years of doing this, I can probably count the number of times we may have had issues. you know, and,
okay.
and that's crazy because, you know, and that's, but that's a good thing, you know. And so kudos to Mr. Clark Garrison with the Survival Radio Network for always keeping things on point. You know, you're going to have your glitches whenever you're dealing with the Internet, you know. So, you know, big kudos for in a year, almost 2 years, probably less than having 5 incidents. You know, and I think one of them was, maybe two of them was because the weather one time was just crazy, and I think it was just knocking everybody in and out. So, you know, but we're here once again. Thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all for being patient. Like I said, you're listening to From the Basement to the Boardroom. Now, well, you know, since we done lost a little time, we're going to get into it, man. And I definitely wanted to get your opinion, and I wish I could have got her. I wish I could have got the young lady I spoke with earlier. And it's a friend of mine from way back. But she was telling me that, that Minister Farrakhan is coming to Tuskegee. And he's going to talk about now this new plan that they want to put together, especially, well, African-Americans, where we're going to start pooling all our money together and putting it into one bank. And that bank is going to be the chosen bank for black people, and we're going to reinvest that money and start buying up all of the land around the country. That way, when we have land, we have power, and then we can start controlling our own businesses. Because they did it over in Belize. She said they're doing it over in Belize where they're buying up all of the land, and now they're starting to prosper, you know, through land, business, and building their own stuff. And I just wanted to ask you, how feasible is that to happen in the United States of America? I like the concept.
Yeah, it sounds good,
and
man.
And I always say when we were together and we were stronger, you know, as a people, we were economically stronger. And I believe all of that, you know, but in this day and time, is that feasible?
Hey, on paper, it sounds good. It sounds good, but, you know, the personal ego, ego-driven individuals, I don't see that happening at all. I really don't. I mean, every day I think about it and talk about things, and I say, you know, ego is, man, it's just so, it's so much that come along with, especially now, when you've seen people have a little success and they come together. Because if that was the case, I said it last week, all the pastors would have come together a while back. I mean, you know, just with Creflo, T.D. Jakes, and the few that's large out here could come together and do something. They hadn't done it yet. And, you know, these are supposed to be, you know, the Christian, you know, trying to help the world individuals. So I can't see, because there's going to be too many people questioning about the money. You know, where is it, who's getting this, who's making the money, how the money is being made. You know, right now they're not questioning that because, you know, these banks have been in place for a while, and so.
But you don't think in this day and time when we economically, you know, somewhat hurting economically, that we're mm-hmm. really we're willing to try something like that?
You know what? I would hope so, and I guess, you know, maybe I'm, you know, putting it out there. I shouldn't be speaking against it, but just the little bit that I see, I don't see it. You know, I hope so. I don't. Hey, I'll be all for it. But I mean, who's gonna be the CEO? Who's gonna run? Who's gonna COO? Who's gonna, you know? It's got to be some people profiting. Because if you start a bank, it's not going to be a bank where, you know, nobody profits from this. And then that's going to be a question: who's, you know, who can actually pitch in? Who's going to put their money in? And, you know, it's so much to come along with that.
And my question too is: I don't have nothing against Minister Farrakhan. I love to listen to him speak, you know, and I follow certain things at his principles, but at this day and time, is he really relevant in the business community?
Well, I don't think so. Not only that, you know, people, you know, who are Christians going to say, well, You know, I don't know. He's Muslim. I don't know if I, even though, you know, you got your money in banks where you got all kind of people who run the banks, Buddhists. You know, you got all kind of people. But like I said, you know, it's like we don't question that because people are so used to it. It's almost like my grandmother would say, we know this devil. I don't know the new devil. You know, we've been dealing with this devil for a while. So, you know, it sounds good. I think, you know, Farrakhan's getting his name back out there by saying that, but I think it should have been done a long time ago, but it's almost like the horse is out the barn now.
Yeah, and the reason why I thought that was an interesting topic, because I'm one of the first to say, and I'm not racist or prejudiced or any of those things that I know of, but, you know, I always say, I just thought, and it's even before my time, but just even doing some reading and research, that we were stronger as business owners, as entrepreneurs, economically, when we had to support one another.
Of course. I mean, yeah,
that's why I was entertaining that, and that's why I kind of like that, because I think right now we have to do something. It may have to be something radical because,
I mean,
you know, I know the Atlanta Business League, they try to do, you know, support 5% black businesses and do those things. And really, what I've been able to get, nobody's filing suit on that.
Right. Right. I know. But see, that's because we've already, like I said, the horse is out the barn. Are you familiar with A.G. Gaston?
Yes.
Okay. You know, he's one of the first black, if not the first black
millionaire
in this country. So even in the South, but in this country. And A.G. Gaston thing was, you know, the civil rights movement was affecting his business. He said it's going to affect everybody's business. You know, he used to be the one who would get Martin Luther King and everybody out of jail and tell them to get out of town. He didn't like that because, you know, he knew soon as integration hit, you know, A.G. Gaston owned all the funeral homes, all the hotels, all the insurance companies that black people dealt with. But as soon as integration hit, they started going to different hotels, using different insurance companies, using different funeral homes. So that really killed the black businessman when it came to that. But, you know, he talked about that a lot. You know, he and Martin Luther King used to kind of argue about it. But see, he would go get him out of jail and then tell him to get out of town because he causing problems.
All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Basement to the Boardroom. And we want you, if you listen to this conversation, we just want to get your intake, your input, comments, questions. Like I said, we're not here to judge. We just want information. So give us a call at 917-932-1078, and press the number 1 to get in. Yeah, man, because I just think that we got to do something because I'm seeing it more and more. And, all right, on to another topic. Like every week, man, I say, you know, this is crazy because we talk about women versus men and, you know, just in society right now, that everything is about women empowerment, women doing this, women doing that. And now I always say they're the number one homeowner, the number one business owner, they're the number one breadwinner. And they're saying that you need basically 6 months of savings for emergency funds for your expenses. They said 52% of women actually have their finances for 6 months. I don't know.
Really? I mean, when you say, let's see, okay, now, when you say women, we need to get those numbers for African-American because I can promise you that's not the same.
That's what I'm thinking when they say women because I'm like, that's a substantial number, man. And I just can't, if that's the case, women killing us, you know. And
I can promise you that because I actually looked at last year the net worth of the African-American female. Man, it was like, I mean, I'm telling you, it was like $15, bro. The average Caucasian lady was $20,000 or $30,000 or something, and African-American female was $15. So, you know, when you look at those numbers, I can promise you that percentage they're talking about, that's a higher percentage of non-African-American females. You know, I'm not saying we don't make the money. but I don't think we hold on to that money.
Wow, that's insane, man. For you to say $15, that's...
$15, man. I mean, it was something crazy like that. It was, yes.
Yeah, it almost sounds unrealistic, but...
You know, and when you look at net worth, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. And just the simplicity, I guess a simple answer for net worth for anybody listening is take everything that you own, put a value to it, and sell it. And then, you know, actually take everything that you owe and subtract it from that. And that gives you your net worth. So, you know, I was joking with my partners all the time when I asked him about his net worth. I said, well, that old lawnmower you got in there and that old sofa and that's the few things you own. Add that up. How much can you sell it for right now? That's what it's worth. Now, how much? Take that and then pay off all your debt. And whatever's left over is your net worth. And most people are minus.
Yeah, and that's what I like. When you said $15, and I like to say, if you know a little bit about, you know, network and the history and stuff, then a lot of times that's actually negative. You know, normally you'll have a negative.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Because people are financially upside down in a lot of cases. So
because they don't have any assets to sell. Like, you know, when you look at a lot of guys' net worth, you know, the people who have the highest net worth, they have businesses. And pretty much what they're saying is if they sold that business at that cost, this is my, you know, it was funny. You hear like P. Diddy used to say all the time. He said, well, my net worth is $500 million. He said, but brothers think I got that in my basement. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I can go down there and get it. No, that's it.
Like, let me
sold
clear that up.
Yeah. Everything I own, you know. But, yeah, I know for a fact females are making a lot more. Well, now, I don't know a lot more money, but they're making more money now than before. So,
yeah.
As for when you look at the net worth, I don't know.
Yeah, I just found that to be really interesting, though.
6 months of savings, huh?
Yeah, because, you know, like I said, we just talked about everything. All the research I do on financing and things come up, it's just always women. And like I said, just to see that come up again, you know, that women at that level, I'm like, that is insane.
Not to change the subject, but what do you think about Money Mayweather having a $123 million in a checking account?
Hey, man. Hey, some people are not risk-takers, man.
I thought the Feds only bagged $250,000. So.
Hey. Yeah, the man just don't want to take no chance on putting that money in no investments nowhere, man, and losing it, man.
Lose.
So, we'll put it,
so
we'll
the
put
bank
it in
shut
a,
down.
A savings account. We'll put it in a savings account, man. Yeah, but that's insane. And, you know, but we talk about, you know, people that like all these other rappers and different people have responsibilities to educate. You know, this was something big. Should rappers, you know, talk more about entrepreneurship or educate? But you're talking about somebody like Floyd Mayweather that make $41 million for one fight. That's 48 minutes worth of work that he
right.
put in. It's $41 million.
Because,
you know, so,
he owns so much of it, they're saying he actually made about $60 million or $65. You know, $41 was the actually fight cost, but I mean that he the check that came from that. But because he owns, you know, a lot of other things when it comes to the fight, that he also got paid, you know, on other things up to like $60 million. I wonder did he put that in that checking account too with the $123 million.
Yeah, to keep that in the checking.
Keep a couple of $200 million in the
like
checking.
Like I said, that brother, he ain't going to have to worry about it. He ain't let nobody steal his money. So we just got to do better, people. Like I said, we got to make smart financial decisions. You know, we got to make, and like I said, we're not no financial, you know, experts.
Right.
You know, we're
right.
more business experts, but we got to make smarter financial decisions. Because what happens is when we make smarter financial decisions, that allow us to go into business and to become better business people and businessmen. Because he's not going to be able to box all his life.
No.
You know, and so he got to learn, you know, some things. And I don't know him personally, so I can't say what he don't
right.
know. I know right now what he's not doing.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, hopefully, you know, brother kind of
can parlay that into some more stuff. But, you know, well, you know, you have 50 Cent around who's a pretty decent businessman from what I see so far, I guess, you know. But I think 50 said that, you know, Mayweather really don't listen to too many people, so.
Oh, yeah, well, they had major fallouts, man. They had major fallouts. And then, you know, 50 started blasting him for the way he spend money and just saying he don't have that kind of money. So, you know, so, you know, I don't read too much into that. But, you know, let's definitely make sure that we make better decisions. And that's why, y'all, we are on this call. That's why we do this, you know, to help you think about your money matters. You know, your monetary decisions, but also set your mind toward entrepreneurship, you know, to get you out of that rat race, you know. So, because I know a lot of y'all say, well, I don't have money to finance, you know, but that's what we want to do. We want to give you another stream, ideas or ways to go about create other streams so you can be successful, so you can make smart financial decisions. So, you know, that's why I'm excited tonight, man. We got a young lady on tonight that's serious. You know, she's all about entrepreneurship, and we're going to have attorney on her on, you know, right after the break. So y'all want to stay tuned because this lady is phenomenal, business guru, life coach, you know, and she's on it. You know, so we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with our guests. So, you know, definitely stay tuned, and we look forward to talking to you.
Pick up your copy of Running with Blinders, the top 17 mistakes of small businesses, written by author Brian Joubert, who has over 20 years of experience in business consulting. Running with Blinders is a full resource guide that will motivate, educate, and inspire everyone who reads this book. Filled with expert advice to avoid pitfalls, this book is a must-have for everyone who really wants to be successful. On sale now for only $12.95. Visit lbtaxservice.com. Purchase your copy of Running with Blinders, the top 17 mistakes of small businesses, and get started creating long-term business success. Survival Radio Network. You can't live without it.
Are you ready for sugar, spice, and everything nice when it comes to your child's hair care? Visit Sugar and Spice Children's Salon and Spa, located at 535 Glen Street South in Fayetteville, Georgia. We are a full-service salon and spa that caters to children from ages 3 through 17. We provide the quality hair care you are looking for. Visit us online today at www.sugarspice.co or call us at 770-347-7147. Let us provide your child with sugar, spice, and everything nice.
All right, y'all. And you're listening to From the Basement to the Boardroom with your host, Mr. Tony Fleming and Brian Joubert. And this is basically when we get it in, just talking business principles, life principles, mindset concepts, and then taking your business to the next level. You know, and that's what we're all about, and that's why this show is called From the Basement to the Boardroom, because we know that you're not going to start at the top, but we're going to lead you, guide you, and bring people like our next guest on, so you can get to boardroom status, because that's really what it's about. In order to beat this recession, we have to create sustainable businesses so that we can employ people. You know, and that's why, you know, I'm extremely excited. I heard this young lady talk on Les Brown's show, and, I mean, she just blew it away. And so you definitely want to make sure that you stay tuned. Call a friend right now and make sure that they're listening as well. So we want to bring to the show tonight Attorney Sean Arnold. Hello,
ma'am. Hello, how are you this evening? Thank you.
Well, how are you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be here. with you and the crowd.
Oh, yeah, they love you. They love you. Yeah, they love you. So how are things on the West Coast at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon or the evening?
I'll tell you, it's still daylight here, and we're still working. That's the difference. I get up early in the morning, and I start talking to the East Coast, and I can't call anybody on the West Coast for several hours. There's a very big difference between the East Coast and the West Coast.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Like I say, we up early. We rise early. We just can't call y'all too early. We got to wait.
Exactly. It's lunchtime by the time you can call us.
Yeah, it throws our schedule all off, so. But yeah, well, we love it, though. We love that we got listeners, we got guests, all across the country on the West Coast, and that they tune in. They tune in during drive time because a lot of times on the West Coast, this is drive time. So this is perfect for them to get on the phone and just listen.
Indeed.
All right. So let our listening audience know a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about your business.
Absolutely. Well, a little about myself. I am a practicing business attorney. I live in Los Angeles, California. I've practiced law here for 20 years. And I'm a local girl, sort of. I was born in Japan. I guess that doesn't make me local. But I was raised East Coast and West Coast. I was an Air Force brat. So that is a little about me. I was also a foster kid in New York City from 14. I emancipated out of the system at 18. So I definitely know the East Coast. A little about my business. I run Platinum Tower. And Platinum Tower is not a law firm, interestingly enough. And believe it or not, it is not a life coaching firm either, although I do deal quite a bit with life issues because I work with entrepreneurs. And you know how 80% of businesses fail within a couple of years?
Yeah, and I would like you to explain to us why.
Well, I can explain to you why here, and I tend to explain to my clients why, one-on-one and in group settings, because I help them put their business systems in place so that they can get into business the right way and be in business for as long as they want to be there. See, I believe that most businesses fail because people don't know what they don't know and they think they know. They have an idea in their heart, and they want to go into business with that idea, and what winds up happening more often than not is that they get into deeper waters than they're able to swim in, and they don't ask for help. They don't necessarily even know what to ask for. So they get into trouble, and they fail. So I believe that there are a number of solutions for this. You can get a business coach, which is what I am. I work with entrepreneurs. I help them set their systems in place, their accounting systems, their marketing systems. See, people hate to sell. They think that they've got this widget that they've created, and if they put it out there, that people are going to come. And that's not the case. See, everything is marketing, and marketing is everything. So whatever you're doing, even as a lawyer, my biggest job is to sell. And so it is extremely important that everyone learn how to market their business, how to make themselves accessible to their dream client, how to make themselves the dream practitioner for that dream client. And then get the help that you need. Get yourself a mastermind group. Put a support system around you so that you can get into business the right way and stay in business for as long as you want to be there.
Wow.
And you said a couple of things that I've been touching on lately. First of all, when you said thinking they will automatically come, that's number three mistake in my book.
Oh, yes.
On the top 17 mistakes. So you hit that dead on the nose, you know, with that, you know, thinking they will automatically come. I talk about that in my book, and people have this misconception of I put a sign up, people coming. And I don't know where that came from or who they saw, but it just don't work like that in the real world.
Well, the world has changed a lot, and marketing is not what it used to be. So even if you put up a sign and put an ad in the newspaper, people are not necessarily going to come. I'll give you an example. I was on and still am on a mailing list for a woman who does marketing, believe it or not, interestingly enough. And she was sending me emails, and when she first started emailing me, I was opening them up and reading them, and I was interested in what she was doing. But after a while, you know, life sort of intervened, and I forgot who she was. Basically, I lost the thread of what she was doing, and I started deleting her emails with everybody else's. I like to keep my inbox as clean as possible, so I spend a lot of time just wholesale deleting emails. And she got on that delete list. And then all of a sudden, I received a postcard in the mail. That made me stop and take another look at her. And then I received probably two or three different kinds of postcards that were gearing me towards an event that she was doing sometime in the future. And see, her emails were doing the same thing. And while it's true that people need to be touched six or seven times before they will begin to think about buying from you, I believe that they also need to be touched in several different ways. So we need to be very creative in how we reach our niche market. Where are they going? What are they doing? You need to intercept them where they are. And you need to be very creative about how you do it, because you can't spend a whole lot of money. Most of us can't spend a whole lot of money targeting that market. But we need to do what this woman did, which is get my attention again by marketing to me in a different way. Touching me seven times with her email wasn't enough. Even posting on Facebook wasn't enough, because eventually all of that just fades into the background. So we have to be continually creative in what we're doing to get in front of our audience.
Ms. Arnold, this is Tony Fleming. I'm a co-host here with Brian. And
hello.
Hey, I'm looking at your Facebook page. I'm actually friend requesting you right now.
Awesome.
So, you know, a couple of things. First thing, you know, when you said, and this is what I was thinking. Well, let me do the second one first. The second one was what you're pretty much saying is, you know, if you're going to be in business, you got to stay relevant. If you're not relevant, you're gonna fall to the wayside, and that is what that lady was doing. Whether it was emails or cards or whatever, she's always in your face saying, "Look, I'm here."
Relevant and visible. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Relevant and visible.
The first point I wanted to ask you, and this was going to be my comment. I want you to tell me how you feel about this, because you said 80% of people in business pretty much fail, and you were saying, why do you think that? And you gave a list of things that they needed to do. And let me tell you what I was automatically thinking when you were saying that. And tell me, does this have a part to play with it? I was thinking 80% of people fail in business because of mindset, because they don't understand business and what it takes. They didn't grow up in that environment. They grew up in a environment where everybody went back and forth to work. It wasn't, you know, my wife, I'm fortunate enough to marry somebody who father was a businessman. So she understands it, and she understands me and the things that I go back and forth and do. But I know I meet a lot of people who didn't grow up in that environment. And a lot of times they don't understand the price that a business person has to pay to make, you know, the business run, you know, which means extra hours in, you know, early in the morning, late at night. And I just say mindset has a lot to do with that. What do you say about that when you meet people?
I think that is absolutely spot on. I do two shows a week. One is called Your Business Accelerated, where it's a free call, and you can actually look me up on Facebook under Platinum Tower and just hit the AWeber icon and opt in. And every week in your inbox, you'll get a 20-minute talk where I talk about business issues and legal issues that you will run into as an entrepreneur. But on Blog Talk Radio, I have a show called Legal Biz Cafe, and I deal with the mindset issues of the entrepreneur. We deal with the issues that stop you, the issues, the blocks, the emotional blocks that make you fail, that keep you from picking up the telephone. But, you know, I think that beyond the mindset issues, there's also an educational issue. With 20 years of practicing business law, I have seen every train wreck in business you can imagine. And failures in businesses that I have seen in my experience cluster around two things. One, customer service issues, where the business owner does not want to wash someone's feet.
Mm-hmm.
And we call ourselves a Christian nation. And
right.
We're in service. As an attorney, listen, I'm no better than a hairdresser, because if I don't pick up that telephone and serve somebody, I'm not going to eat.
Right.
So customer service and the attitude, the mindset of customer service is so critical, but also educating yourself on how to control inventory, how to control your intellectual property, how to brand your business so that you're not flailing around in the marketplace and leaving all kinds of messages that just confuse the mind of the consumer, and a confused mind will not buy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is integrity, where we have a distressing number of folks, not just in our community, but in the larger community, that want to make a fast buck, that want to get rich quick.
Right.
And there is no silver bullet to getting wealthy. It's about creating alternate streams of income for yourself. It's about rolling up your sleeves. It's about serving people and treating them well, because 80% of your business is going to come from 20% of your customers. And you don't know what 20% that is. So you have to treat 100% of your customers like gold, because they are gold. They feed you. So I think that those are like clusters of issues that I see with entrepreneurs. And I help them as their coach, because I'm able to look into their business and just see where the problem is. I've had this knack for 30 years where I can just go into the business and look and talk to people and see where the bottleneck is and show them how to fix their systems so that they can actually step away from the business and not be a slave to the business.
Wow.
So that they're a business owner and not a business worker. Because so many of us get on a hamster wheel with our businesses. We didn't think about the exit strategy when we went in. So you got to go into business thinking about how you're going to get out. Because otherwise you're going to get stuck.
Right.
You know, are you intending to grow the business and sell it? Are you intending to grow the business and keep it? Are you intending to sell it but keep a consultancy for yourself? What is your plan for that business?
Game plan, right.
These are the reasons why people fail, because they get tired and they walk away. They just stop. They stop marketing, they stop working, they start to spin in space, and the next thing they know, they haven't done their taxes, the man is breathing down their neck, they don't understand why they can't get out of bed in the morning, they drive a nice car, their kids go to nice schools, and they don't understand why they're not happy. And it's because they don't have a lock on what they're doing.
Wow.
We have this thing called the Peter Principle, where we all achieve to the extent of our own incompetence, not our own competence, because very few of us stretch and reach and grow. Very few of us will ask for help and learn what we don't know, or hire somebody that knows what we don't know and get the heck out of their way and let them do their thing and don't be jealous and don't be a crab in a barrel and try to pull them back and stop them and cut them off at the knees because now you're jealous because they're out there making money. Well, you know what? Pay your people and pay them well, because that way they will be your biggest salespeople in your business. They will be the ones referring business to you.
Wow.
Figure out a way to honor your people. Read The Eighth Habit. The Eighth Habit by Stephen Covey. It's an amazing book on how to treat your people, how to make them feel valued so that you don't have to keep sneaking around the edge of the counter to see who's got their hand in the till. See, because if you make sure that your people are honored and valued and successful, they will make sure you are the same way, because they will want you to continue in business. But if you are a selfish business owner and you're driving around in a nice car and your secretary's child is sick and you don't want to give them health insurance, there's a big problem there, and you're not going to stay in business very long. Integrity. Integrity.
Man, that's good stuff.
Yeah, you said a lot. Like I said, you make me feel good about my book, because a lot of what you talked about is that I put in there. So I know it has to be, you know, somewhat of a decent book, because if it's coming from you again, then I know it's
send
good.
Send me the title of it. I would love to read it. Is it on Amazon?
I'll definitely. Well, you know, I'll be in L.A. next week, so, you know, I'd definitely love to put one in your hand and get the opportunity to meet you personally. So
that would be great.
All right, so if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Basement to the Boardroom, and we have attorney Sean Arnold on tonight. I mean, business strategist, life coach, you know, just the entrepreneur guru. And she's given us the 411 on everything you need to know about business. I have a question, and is it? I know you said a lot of times people don't know what they don't know, but they think they know.
Yes.
Is that the reason? Because going back to what Tony said about people just not coming from that environment, but once you get into business, I don't know if that lack of environment plays a part in this, but I can't understand how you don't take the initiative to grow your business with resources that's out there. Like, I do a seminar on how to start and run your business, and I'll get, you know, on Facebook 50 people to say I'm going, but only 2 people to register.
Right, right.
And so what is it? And this is not something that just happened this year. I've been doing this for the longest, that I may get 30 RSVPs and 4 people to show. You know, what is it about that just don't allow people to really enhance their business and not take advantage of it?
Most people stop learning after high school. Most people do not read. I have 4 6-foot tall bookshelves in my home in 4 different areas of the home, and each one of those bookshelves is stuffed with books, and I've read them all.
I'm glad you say that and not us, because we would have got toe up for that. So what you said about most people again?
They do not read.
I'm with you. Miss Honor, I'm with you on the bookshelf. I'm with you on the bookshelves. I'm looking at my bookshelves right now. I got tons of books around here. I've read them all the way to the end.
I am on a personal mission. Every African American household in America must have a library.
Hey, I have a foundation called Why Not Read. That's my foundation. So that's Brian talking over there. He likes to listen to the CDs in the car.
So that, I think, is part of the challenge, is that people, by and large, and I'm not saying everybody in the world, I'm saying that the masses of people, and this is why we're so easy to fool, this is why you can put us in front of the 11 o'clock news and tell us what to think, because we're not thinking for ourselves. Because we're not reading. Because we're not going to seminars. By and large, you know, when you go to seminars, if you get on the, oh, I love to call myself a seminar slut. Because I go to seminars like you would not believe. But you know what? I see the same people.
Right.
Again and again and again and again. And there's a circuit. Exactly. Yep. There's a cluster of people that are seeking to educate themselves, that are seeking to better themselves. And the rest of the people get off of work and go home and sit in front of the television, and the television tells them what to think.
Yep. TV programming.
I moved a year ago. I have not plugged my television in yet. Well, that's the point. But not yet.
Well, you know what? Well, you know what they say? They say rich people have big libraries, poor people have big screen
TVs. Television, yeah.
You know, I have often wondered why a thief will break into a mansion and sneak past all the real riches in the library.
Right.
And steal the television that put him in that condition in the first place and hightail it out of the house. I'm just saying.
You said, it might just be a book and that'll say how to be a better thief.
Honey.
But you know, Ms. Arnold, it goes back to, in my opinion, I got to stick with this, is that a lot of people, you know, it comes back from reading, because people don't read success stories like John H. Johnson and everything
right.
that he went through. Or a success
a
story
book.
From a man on Shark Tank.
Rice has an amazing book.
Right. I love Damon John's book, you know, FUBU, how he started, worked his way up, and, you know, he's on Shark Tank and all this kind of. But I think most people just don't believe in themselves enough to dig, to realize that when they start struggling, that everybody else has struggled, you know, because they hadn't read it. They didn't read Johnny. They just think. A lot of people think business just happened. Like you said, they set up the business and everything came to them. And so if you've read story after story after story, book after book after book of people who's successful, and they tell you in their book they went through this. I think a lot of people will understand that. But I think some people just sit back and think, man, when they start struggling, it's time to shut the door and run because it's not working.
Absolutely. And the one thing that our most successful people throughout history share in common is that every last one of them have experienced devastating failure. Devastating failure.
Yeah.
If you look at the life of someone like an Abraham Lincoln, who grew to be the president of the United States, and you look at how many businesses he had failed, how many times he ran for Senate and was beaten. He had a mental breakdown.
Right.
But one thing he did not do was quit.
Quit, right. But see, like I said, people don't read those stories. They don't read those books. They don't pick that stuff up, and they just assume that it goes back to me, I think, the environment. Some of the people they're hanging around telling them, you know, you've been trying this business for a while, it's not working for you, blah, blah, blah. They assume that it's just supposed to be easy, and if it's not easy, I'm not making money, like you said, right away, then this thing is not going to work. Let me shut down and cut my losses quickly instead of going. I was listening to Russell Simmons say one day, they was asking about, he said, man, every business I ever started, you know, it took 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Matter of fact, most of my partners quit because it seemed like everything happened fast, but it never did. You know, it just didn't.
A 10-year overnight success.
Well, then he said Fat Farm bled for about almost four years.
Yeah.
And he lost substantial amounts in Fat Farm before Fat Farm started actually showing a profit, but he believed.
Right.
You know, and he said somebody asked him, at what point did you give up on your dream? He said, at the point when you stopped believing.
Yeah. And that is the beauty and necessity of business planning, especially if you want to make your business investor worthy. You have to have a plan that has a set of numbers, and any investor that's worth their salt will fly right past the pretty words that you put on the page, and they're going to go straight to the numbers because they want to know where your break-even point is. They want to know how far out this business has to go before you start to make money, so that you know how much time, how much money, and how much relationship capital, which is something people don't think about, that you have to sink into that business before it will start to turn a profit. Marriages have been lost over the lack of a break-even point.
Wow.
All right. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Basement to the Boardroom. We're getting close to that time. So if you have any questions for Attorney Arno, please call at 917-932-1078 and press the number 1. I do have someone that just sent me an instant message question for you, Attorney Arno. And it said, what do you recommend for people wanting to leave corporate America to start their own job? I mean, start their own business.
Call me. That's what I do. I work with frustrated entrepreneurs that are sitting at the top of their career ladder, and they look across and they say, holy mackerel, that's my ladder over there leaning against that house. And they have no idea how to get there. I will help you if you don't know what your passion is. I will help you figure out how to identify what you should be doing in business. If you know that you should be in business, but you don't have a product or a service, and you don't have a particular burning passion in your soul, then I can help you figure out how to develop a product by contacting sources that have patents just laying around in your chosen field, universities, R&D departments at corporations. They have patents by the hundreds just sitting around waiting for an entrepreneur to grab it, develop it, and make $1 million. Let me tell you something. 1,000 units of a $1,000 product is $1 million. 2,000 units of a $500 product is $1 million. Are you getting me?
Mm-hmm.
It
yeah.
doesn't take that much to make $1 million, but you have to have a plan, and you have to roll your sleeves up, you have to put your nose to the grindstone, and you have to get a coach. Every world-class performer knows they need a coach. Tiger has a coach. The Williams girls have a coach. Everybody has a coach.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate here a little bit. I'm leaving corporate America, so if I'm in corporate America, more than likely, I'm probably not financially stable. I'm probably living from paycheck to paycheck. How do I get a coach? How can I afford a coach if I want to make this transition? I can get me a plan together, but how can I get a coach?
Well, I deal with one-on-one people who actually can afford my services on a one-on-one basis. But for people who are strapped, I actually put together group coaching scenarios where we operate in a mastermind setting, where I put together people from different walks of life who could really help one another. And it keeps me from doing all the heavy lifting, frankly.
Right.
And I put together live events and teleseminars and audio programs. They have written product where I literally take them through the seven pillars of running a business and show them how to set it up properly. And we do that in a group setting. We do that one-on-one. The difference is one-on-one, we're talking about your business and nobody else's business but your business. And that is a recipe for massive acceleration. In a group mastermind setting, it's just a little bit slower. But let me tell you, in 30 days, in 90 days, in 180 days, your business will not look the same. Your mindset will not look the same. You will be asking yourself some very powerful questions to enable yourself to move forward rather than to tell yourself all the reasons why you can't do it. That's why you need a coach. And if you can't afford it, you definitely need to figure out how to afford it. Because if you keep doing the same thing, next year you're going to be right here. And the year after that, you're going to be right here. Where do you want to be next year? Get yourself a coach to get you there.
Yeah. And it's crazy that you mentioned mastermind group, because I've been hearing that term so much lately, probably over the last month, through just listening to some of the Napoleon Hill stuff, and you know, listen to Les, and you know, and Tony Robbins, all of them. I mean, just that term has been coming up so much, and for you to say it at least three times already, I actually put together, because I was going to ask you, that was one of my questions, to ask, what did you think about a mastermind group, but you've already answered that question.
Oh, it's a necessity. I have a mastermind group, and I have several different coaches. I have a speaking coach. I have a business coach. I have an energy coach. and I have a mastermind group that works with me on my business, because I can't see everything. You cannot see the picture when you're in the frame. And that's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Somebody else can look at you, and isn't it a fact that you can look at your partner sitting across the studio from you and tell him everything that's wrong with him, but there's nothing wrong with you. Right? Both of you. But you can look at each other and say, oh, man, you do this, you do that, you do the other, you sabotage yourself, this is how you make life hard for yourself. But can you have the same conversation with self? Most of us cannot, and that is why we need a coach.
All right, and last thing before we let you go and give you information where people could get in touch with you, I'm glad that you said this when I pulled some of your paperwork. It said, are you stuck in that dumb old job, underpaid and unappreciated? And once again, I'm glad that somebody else said it, because I know if I would have said it or Tony would have said it, oh, you'd have been judging people.
Yeah, we've been. We get stoned.
We get stoned just because y'all have a business and y'all successful. Yeah. I ain't got to be a dumb job.
It's a different economy, and there are going to be more and more layoffs. It is entrepreneurism that is going to save this country. It was entrepreneurism that made us great. It was entrepreneurism that put us in the number one seat in the world. We are the innovators. We are the hard workers.
You know what, Ms. Arnold, and one of the best statements I ever heard when it comes to entrepreneur was, and I don't know who said it. You probably heard it before, too, but somebody said that the entrepreneur of today is the one who can learn, unlearn, and then relearn again, because everything is changing so fast. You know, everything is happening so fast that, you know, the way we did it 10 years ago, some things have changed already. You know, it's not like it used to be where everything, you know, you have your foundation stuff that's going to always be there. But the way you market different things now because of technology, internet, and things is changing so fast that if you can't unlearn some things and relearn again, you're going to get lost in the shuffle.
Absolutely. And, you know, that is where people who have all those degrees and what have you are at a distinct disadvantage. Learned people are dealing with a world that no longer exists.
Exist, right.
Yep. It's the people who are learning who are going to inherit this economy.
Right.
And when I met with Mr. Allen over at the Allen Entrepreneurial Institute, and that's what he kept saying. He said, you know, this, he said, unfortunately, I have to brainwash a lot of the thinking when I get people come through here. He said, your college students, your MBAs, he said, because when they come through thinking they know entrepreneurship, you got to be completely brainwashed because you got to unlearn everything that you learned through the process of schooling.
Yes.
Because it has
because
nothing
schooling
to do
dumbs you down. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about the purpose of schools was not to create entrepreneurs. The purpose of schools is to create workers.
The best employees.
Who do what they're told to do. Are you going to pull your
best
kids out of school? Think about
all right.
it.
All right, so we definitely up against time. We actually a little bit over. So before we go, give everybody your information, how they can get in touch with you via Facebook, Twitter, email, websites, phone numbers, purchase books, or whatever you have, you know, definitely let them know.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You can give me a phone call at 213-718-3468. Again, 213-718-3468. You can also follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. In all of those places, my moniker is Sean, S-H-A-U, N as in Nancy, E, Arnold, like our former governor. And my website is businessbootcamponline.com, so you can send me an email at Sean, S-H-A-U, N as in Nancy, E, at businessbootcamponline.com. Don't forget the online. That's very important. Thank you so much. I just had a wonderful time today.
No,
thank you.
I'm sorry that went so fast, but we definitely going to reschedule because I probably only went through two of the questions I had for you, so we definitely have to get you back on and do a whole show dedicated to you because I think you just have so much insight, you know, so much information, you know, so we definitely look forward to hearing from you and talking to you in the very near future.
Thank you.
Right. Well, thank you.
All right. Do have a good evening.
You as well. Bye-bye now.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, y'all. We're going, like I tell you, every week we're going to bring you some great conversation. We're going to bring you some insight. But we're going to bring you great guests that's going to give you the 411 on what you're doing. Like Tony said earlier, there's nothing new on this earth. You know, basically, if you just read, but even if you don't read, listen to some of our guests. Some of our guests have been in the same places you've been, didn't have nothing, started with nothing, and built it up. You know, started from the bottom, not in here. So, good night. Thank you once again, T, and we'll see you next week, man.
All right.
All right. Remember, we are one.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.